Los hombres calientes.
How about that? That was kind of nice, wasn't it? Well, I tell you what, it was such a wild situation. Anyway, I'm Bruce Broussard, your host tonight from a rural perspective, and we're going to have candidates night tonight. I think it's very, very important, and let me start off by saying that, hey, get out and vote. You've got to get out there and express yourself, because there's nothing like raising, excuse the French, the H word, If you haven't actually taken the responsibility of getting out and vote. You have the opportunity to voice your opinion. So please get out and vote. You should be getting your ballots by this weekend. And I would recommend very strongly, rather than just making a quick decision aspect of it, just stick around a little bit and maybe get to see some of the candidates. They'll be all over the place. They'll be knocking on doors. In fact, I just happen to have three of them sitting here now. And also, I've got another person that's going to be doing a little co-hosting with me tonight. You remember Bob Williams. Bob, how are you doing tonight?
Real good, Bruce. How are you?
Good. Well, what we're going to do is that we're going to try to give candidates an opportunity to interview here on KBOO, the Family Community Radio Station here in Portland. Give them the opportunity to express themselves and let you hear them. I think it's very, very important that we do this, and we're just going to go around the table, and as people come in, as they call, we're going to give them the opportunity to do that also, too. And I'm talking about all the races. I think we may have a gubernatorial candidate. I think Jim Hill has said that he may give us a call tonight. And also, I think Saxon, and I don't know whether or not Ted's going to call. Maybe we might get a little rep or something from Bob or something on that end of it. But we got Multnomah County. We got the city of Portland. We got state representative. In fact, Steve Marsh might even give us a call from who's running for county auditor and the like. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this, and hope you got your tea, your coffee, whatever, and sit back, relax, and let's see what the candidates are all about. So, a couple of them here have commitments, and we're going to get them out as quick as we possibly can. And we're going to get right down to the Multnomah County race. We happen to have a candidate here in Jeffrey Cogan.
It's actually Cogan, but
Cogan,
thanks. Yes,
Cogan.
Thanks, Bruce.
You know, I know Arnold and Elaine, see?
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting because it's C-O-G-A-N, right?
Yes.
I mean, so yours is C-O-G-E-N.
Right. We're not related, but we're friends.
That's interesting. Okay, Jeff, now I understand. Why don't you just jump right on in and introduce yourself, kind of get a little background in terms of what got you to this particular point, your rationale, and what do you bring to the county that will better our way of life?
Well, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that. Well, one thing is, you know, I decided to run for this because I've realized over the course of the last couple of years that Multnomah County's really been through a tough time.
Oh, Steve Marches, okay.
And, you know, right now, Multnomah County's government is just not connecting with the people, and the people in this community are not feeling happy about what's happening at the county, and that's a big problem. Multnomah County, it's not a high-profile government. You don't hear that much about it when it's working well, but when it's working well or not, it does really important things. I mean, the county is responsible for public safety. The county runs our jails, our district attorney's office, parole and probation offices. And the county also is really in the middle of taking care of vulnerable people in the community. They're responsible for helping people in poverty, for helping homeless people, people who don't have access to health care, and for really critical investments in seniors and in kids. And it's very important to the quality of life of this community that Multnomah County be operating well. And I don't think it has been, and I think that's a big problem. That's why I decided to run.
Oh, good, Jeff. Now, how do you want folks to contact you? How do they get involved in your campaign?
Well, the best thing they can do is go to my website, which is jeffcogan.org, and that's JeffCogen.org. Or they can call us, 221-8457 at our county office. There's an awful lot in the campaign to do if folks want to get involved. And I think it's great that you're giving us an opportunity to talk with folks tonight, because unfortunately, the corporate media doesn't really talk about local politics at all, and it's really important. So I really appreciate the chance to be here.
Well, one thing about KBO, that's one of the things we do. We are family. We are very sensitive to community, and it's very, very important that we do so.
Absolutely.
So, again, good luck to you, and thank you very, very much. Any lasting thought? I've got Steve March on the line, but any lasting thoughts, any lasting points you want to make?
Well, I mean, in a nutshell, I'm a progressive, and as a progressive, I'm really concerned that people aren't trusting their government. And I think that it's really important. We have a lot of challenges in this community right now, and if progressives want to reclaim the agenda in this country from the right wing that's taken over this entire country, what we need to do is create models of government that work and that make a difference in people's lives. And in Portland, we have an opportunity to do that because we have a progressive community, people who want to believe in the power of government to change this community. And it's happened in the past. It happened here in the 70s. People came around, came together, and helped create a vision for a better Portland. And I think it's extremely important locally and nationally that here in Portland we prove that government can work, government can help people's lives, it can make a real difference.
Okay, there you go, folks. Jeff Cogan. Hey, he'll be on the ballot, but Multnomah County. Let's give him a little hand, will you, please?
Thank you.
All right. We got that from the engineer. Thanks very much, Lisa.
You guys have a good night.
Good enough. Thanks very much. Okay, what we'll do, we want to get this musical chair aspect of it. I understand we got Steve Marsh on the phone, right? We got him on. Steve, are you there?
That's right, Bruce. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Oh, very good. Well, you know, I caught what Jeff was saying about the lack of communication and reaching out to the communities there, and it's critical, and that's what I've found as I've gone around too, is the current folks in the county haven't seemed to keep in touch with the folks in hardly any of the communities.
Exactly. Hey, Steve, tell me, we're going to take advantage of you at this point in time. Gee whiz, you just had a short session at the legislature. Steve, by the way, was at one point in time, well, he still is a state legislator, right, Steve?
That's right, right. Until the end of the year.
End of the year, he's running for a county auditor, right, Steve?
That's correct, Multnomah County Auditor.
Okay, so what are some of the things you feel you're going to better the auditing situation at the county?
Well, I think the number one thing is getting back and communicating with the public. I've been out visiting in various segments of the community, such as I was out in Troutdale and in Fairview, Wood Village. None of them have heard anything from the county auditor's office in the last few years at all. So it wasn't until the last previous county auditor was out back in the early 90s. And so that's just indicative. If my experience in the legislature teaches me to, you have to build coalitions and you have to reach out to people of diverse opinions and views to be able to find the right answers. And that's one of the things I'll bring to the audit office. Of course, we always look for efficiency and effectiveness, but you find out how well programs are working by talking to the people who receive the services.
Right, right. Well, hey, look, I've got Bob Williams. You remember Bob Williams, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Bob.
Bob sits on the TriMed board, and he has a number of hats that he wears, and so we're going to be able to take care of a number of things at the same time. I think Oregon Assembly of Black Affairs and A. Philip Randolph and on and on and on. So you know him, don't you, Steve?
Yes, actually, and I'll probably see him at the Oregon Black Political Convention that's coming up.
Right. Okay. Bob, you got a question?
Well, Steve, having known you for quite a while, as far as in your other role, as an auditor, how do you see that helping different communities more so than just doing your job of auditing?
Well, as I said, a lot of the folks out there in the various communities in Oregon, I mean, in Multnomah County, are the people that are receiving the services. I mean, Multnomah County handles not only the jails, which I think everybody is kind of familiar with, but we have libraries, but we also have health plan. You know, we deal with the health department. We've got teen clinics helping kids in need and getting their vaccination things. And, you know, if you are out and you work with the various communities to make sure that those services are being delivered fairly and equitably throughout the community and throughout the county, then, you know, that's part of the job. It's not all dollars and cents. A lot of it has to do with fairness and equity as well.
Right. Let me ask this other point I would like to ask is that for the benefit of those folks that were not living, that were not familiar with you in your respective district, now we're talking about a county, the entire county aspect of it. You may want to share a little bit of background in terms of what you did in the legislature and what were some of your achievements and whatever. You might want to share that?
Sure. Actually, you know, I was going to go, you know, when you decide to run for an office like this, you kind of go back and look at what you've in 2001, I and Senator Gordley, among others, co-authored the referral to the voters to remove all the racial language that was in the Constitution, for example. We did that, and the voters passed that. We this session, I had some bills on deaf and hard of hearing, and we helped the deaf and hard of hearing communities. And we also passed a statewide 211 state fund, so we can get federal dollars now to help us with that helpline for people who have a crisis but not really a 911 call. They can call 211 and get the help with social services.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look, I want to thank you very much for being with us tonight. Any lasting words to the listeners?
Well, I think your advice is good. Keep your ears open. Go to the voters pamphlet, take a look at that, and I have a website, stevemarch.com.
Good.
And I have a telephone number if they want to call and learn more, 503-236-6628. And, of course, in the voters pamphlet, I have my home number. I try to be accessible to everybody.
Great, Steve. Thanks again, and good luck to you.
All right. Thanks.
All right,
Bob. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Steve Marsh. He'd called in, and I would recommend that if you know of any candidates that that's running for office, you can give us a call here. You can have them give us a call here at 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. We're giving candidates an opportunity to speak to the KBOO family. Trust me, give us a call, will you? Again, 503-231-8187. So now we're going to get back to the studio here. We have a couple of candidates that are here with us. And Chris, I happens to be running for city council, commissioner position number 3. And we're going to spend a couple of minutes now with Chris. Chris, how you doing?
I'm great, Bruce. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, great. Okay,
pleasure.
Let's talk about Chris a little bit. You're running for position 3. Why are you doing this? And what are you going to bring to the community? How are you going to better our way of life here?
Well, I agree with a lot of Jeff's sentiments about how there is definitely a here in local government, and I feel I bring a high amount of integrity into this political process. And my integrity, I believe, is so high that something like the tram debacle, this would have never happened on my watch. Although I am very much in favor of building that tram, but the way that I believe the developers and the planners tricked the city government and the voters and the taxpayers into coming up with so much money to build this tram, you know, and really the people that will profit the most are the developers who have all the money. This would have never happened on my watch. We have this education crisis happening, right? Budget. We also have huge companies like PGE that have paid, a small amount in taxes. They're refusing to pay some $700 million in taxes they've collected over the last few years. I mean, this to me is obvious as part of a solution to an ongoing festering problem. And my integrity, I feel, is high enough to where none of this will go past me. And I also have a lot of vision. I'm connected with a lot of visionary people here in Portland. I myself have spent 8 years living in some of the greatest cities of the world, as like Amsterdam, Vancouver, Canada, and all around Europe. I have a lot of great ideas, a lot of progressive ideas I'll bring back to Portland. And I'm not afraid to talk about some of these issues that the other candidates aren't talking about, such as biodiesel. This is one issue that I've been repeatedly talking about, and now I've noticed some of the other candidates are finally starting to talk about this important issue. And another issue is marijuana law enforcement. We spend $66 million in Oregon every year to arrest people for marijuana. And so we've got an initiative going that would make it the lowest priority of law enforcement and save a lot of money and allow the police to concentrate on arresting violent criminals. So it's, you know, solutions like these that are tough solutions, that are ones that no one wants to talk about, but I'm the guy who's talking about them. So, you know, this is proof that I'm not connected with special interests in any sort of big corporations.
Okay.
I'm an independent thinker, and I bring a tremendous work ethic as well. So I'd like to think I bring a huge amount of positives to city council, and that's why I'm running.
Okay. Tell me something. What about the Schumacher? We're going to take advantage of it. I know that you've been tracking that Schumacher first situation downtown. Could you maybe share with us what that's all about, and where are we with that?
Well, the Schumacher Fur Company has had weekly protests happen in front of their store in downtown Portland for a few months now, done by an animal rights group who's organized them in defense of animals, but now it's just a huge coalition of people that are down there, literally. So this has been an ongoing saga. It has climaxed in the Schumachers and the animal rights activists coming down to City Hall a couple weeks ago and talking about the problem. The Schumachers, especially Mrs. Schumacher, got up there and really was pointing fingers at our elected officials, at the mayor. She even swore in there. So basically what's happening now is there's a mediation process that they've both been invited to, sponsored by the city, paid for by our tax dollars. And the Schumachers, as of the last report I got, which was Sunday, have refused until now to participate in this mediation. So the animal rights activists and the other people involved are standing by with open schedules and the ability to meet the Schumachers anytime, but they're waiting for the Schumachers to respond. So I'm, you know, monitoring this. I get to see the city spend taxpayers' money to resolve disputes between, you know, a business and some private citizens. I think there's logic and truth sides of the story, and I would like to, you know, see it resolved in a different sort of way.
Okay, good. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got another candidate on the line, but I'll tell you what, any lasting points that you might want to make? What about you? How do they contact you?
Well, check out the voters pamphlet. I've got a great voters pamphlet statement in there that really talks about who I am and what I stand for. And check out the website, chrisiverson.org. And please vote for me. Thank you very much. And appreciate you having me on my show and all the great things you're doing for Portland, Bruce.
Okay, good.
And also vote for Don Dupay.
There you go. Don's there. He's going to be doing a lot of talking to you very much. So candidate running for sheriff here of Multnomah County. Okay, good. And we'll get Bob to get in on this in this next one. I understand we got Alexis Dow here on the line. Alexis, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Bruce. How are you?
Great. Great, great. She's running for Metro Auditor, And gee whiz, Alexis, let's talk a little bit about Alexis and a little bit about your background, and because I know that office is one that you were part and parcel of putting together, if you will.
That's right.
Early on, and how's it been working?
It's been working really pretty good. I've been at Metro now for 11 years, and I came with my CPA degree and set up the auditing office. And have issued a number of different audit reports that have really made a difference in making Metro run better, whether it's by keeping better track of cash that's collected at parking garages or making sure that the land that's purchased with open spaces dollars is accounted for and that the purchases are transparent and looking at the construction of the new convention center and the exhibits at the zoo. So it's really a very broad-ranging operation, Metro.
Well, we really appreciate the situation because it was a waste management and USA Waste And Mike Burton was very insistent on making sure we got that particular position because we needed someone to make sure the dollars were going. And right up front, you've been doing an excellent job to date that I know of.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Metro is actually a pretty large organization.
Right.
Its budget is over $200 million. And you're right. Solid waste is one of the different activities that
exactly.
It does. Once the trash is collected at people's curbside, it goes to the Metro transfer station, then recycling and getting the trash that isn't recycled disposed out at Arlington in the landfill. So it's a huge operation.
So Alexis, under the system, when the counselors meet and this, that, and the other, and they come up with policy and vote on various issues and the like, I take you oversee that just to make sure that the I's are dotted, T's are crossed from a financial standpoint.
Well, not so
How does
much.
That work?
They'll make decisions on policy. I mean, they do have to have a balanced budget. So,
right. Okay,
you know,
good.
We do kind of monitor that.
Okay.
But then they'll make decisions on policy, whether it's the new look or franchising more transfer stations or expanding the zoo. And then once they make that decision, then staff at Metro actually then implements the policy, either by having land use planners work on it and being out in the community and making changes, or by, you know, working with the zoo to get the condor exhibit built or something along those lines. And then what the auditor does is we go in and make sure that the staff, when they went about doing whatever policy the council set, that they approached it in a very efficient way and that they achieved the goals and that the money was properly accounted for. And one of the things is that we do look for is that they do achieve the goals. Sometimes we'll look at a program, something that the policy was set.
Right.
For example, there was a recycling program. There's a number of recycling programs. We've looked at a couple. But there was one that we looked at recently, and there's enough economic forces in the community to make that type of recycling happen without the Metro program. So we actually recommended that program be phased out and put the money someplace where it would make more of a difference.
Great, great. Well, look, I got Bob Williams here sitting with me as a co-host tonight. He wears many hats in the community besides the Oregon Assembly of Black Affairs, that political group that's going to be meeting this week, and he does a number of other things. He sits on the TriMet board and the like. Yeah, he has a question for
you. Oh, good.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Bob.
Okay. I wanted to ask the question, and as you were talking about your role in Metro, and my question would be, do you get involved at the front end or the back end? Are you there after the problem has started, or do you try and prevent things from becoming a problem?
Well, we actually try to prevent things from becoming a problem. We look at the policy that the council is made a decision on, and then that staff start implementing. And as staff start implementing it, we'll look at it. For example, open space is about 80% of the money was spent, and so we went in and made suggestions on how they could tweak the program to better achieve its goals. Similarly, right now Metro is in the process of looking at the way it does business, just its accounting policies and procedures, and just trying to run more efficiently. And they're making some changes. As they're making those changes, we're kind of overseeing what they're doing and try to provide some guidance so that it heads in the right direction. So, yes, we try to get in before the problems get too big.
Okay. And I know at one time there were some problems as far as recycling, and especially in the paint side of things. How did that come? How do you get involved in the financial end of that recycling entity where they were selling recycled paint? And from what I understand, some of the money, some of the funds were going into the wrong areas.
You know, I'm not really aware of that. And we did the recycled paint operation recently moved. I believe from Metro South down off of I-5 near 205
right.
up to near Swan Island.
Mm-hmm.
And in that new facility, we had looked at the old facility and had made recommendations about cash registers and setting up an inventory system to keep track of the inventory and better manage what they have. And I know that they did implement that. There are rules and regulations about money that's generated in the solid waste operation needs to stay with the solid waste operation. And I know that the financial statement auditors that I contract with every year come in and make sure that, in fact, does happen.
Okay.
Is it self-sustaining now, Alyssa? I mean, are they making any money?
A solid waste?
No, the paint, the recycling paint.
Oh, the paint. I don't know whether the paint is making money.
Yeah. It's a service, but I understand they sell this stuff, and you still have operating costs and the like, you know?
Yeah, there are, and there are operating costs, but the paint is very thick. It's got a lot of pigment in it, and I understand it's really easy to paint with.
Right. Well, hey, any lasting comments? How do they get involved in your campaign?
Well, my campaign is rolling along, I have to say, probably like a lot of other candidates. I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks passing because it's been pretty busy. But the campaign's been going great. I've got a couple of billboards, a couple of radio spots, and I want to encourage all the voters when they're ballots to vote, to be a good citizen and vote.
Right. Good
and
job.
Remember me.
Is there a website or a phone number?
You know what? To see what's going on at Metro and by my office, to go to the website www.metro-region.org/auditor.
Okay.
And if you have questions, always feel free to call me at 503-224-8443 or email me at dowpuma, so that's dowpuma@comcast.net.
Very much, Alexa.
Okay.
Have a good one. Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye, Bruce.
Sure enough,
bye
now.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Okay, there we go. Alexis Dow, Metro Auditor. She's running for Metro Auditor. And as my understanding, there's another person by the name of Suzanne Flynn, who's also running for Metro Auditor. That's the only other person that's running, okay? Again, you know, there's another resource here that I might throw out on this pamphlet.
Yes.
I mean, it's very, very resourceful, and I would recommend very highly that you pick up this voter's pamphlet and read it, and go through it. Trust me, there's quite a bit of information. Wouldn't you think, Bob?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can learn so much about the person that you're voting for, but that you're rather than just listening to a friend, you have an opportunity to see what they say, find out where they are, go to a meeting. Miss Doogie Howser one night, go to a meeting, hear the person, get to feel comfortable with that person, knowing that you can go to their office if there's a problem and talk with them.
Right. I got to admit, Bill really did a good job on this. Bill Bradbury, who happens to be Oregon Secretary of State, he did an excellent job. I mean, he's got all kinds of things. Got various website, voter information. I mean, it's just on and on and on various issues. There's a wealth of information, really, from the front cover to the back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a wealth of information. So please pick it up, okay? Good. Well, now what we're going to do, we're coming right back into the studio now, and we're gonna move over to the sheriff, Multnomah County Sheriff. And we've got, I think we've got two people that are running, one of which happens to be, well, we got three. One is a write-in campaign.
That's correct.
Got a write-in campaign, and then we got two others. One, you got the sitting incumbent in Bernie Giusto. Is that right? Bernie Giusto? Giusto.
I guess it is, yeah.
Bernie Giusto. Why do you want to guess, Bob? Don? And then we got Don DuPay, and we got Don DuPay in. In fact, he just jumped out of the voter's pamphlet. Bob, you notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is so resourceful, he jumped right out of it. There he is. There's Don. Don DuPay.
Thanks for having me on, Bruce.
What's your rationale for running for sheriff and your background?
Well, I was a Portland city cop here for 17 years, Bruce, and so I have the background, I have the experience, I know what's going on with the situation, I know what's going on in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I bring to the table is, you know what, I've been gone so long, nobody knows me anymore. I don't know a soul at the sheriff's office.
I know you.
So I'm a new face.
I know you.
I'm a new face in law enforcement.
Okay. All right.
So I have the advantage of being a new face. I can pretty much take control and do what I need to do. I think Mr. Colgan put the finger on the problem, but the citizens are having trouble with the county and their trust, trusting the county. And they're not doing the right thing with the money. And I think the sheriff is one of the biggest offenders in that. He certainly spends a big share of the county's money. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $135 million is his budget. So he kind of represents the arrogance, I think, that has come with, this is my money, I'll do what I damn well please with it. He's been accused in the papers of saying that the county commissioners are his bankers. And I know that irritated the county commissioners, and it kind of irritated me as a taxpayer, because after all, Bruce, it's my money too. So we're there, we are the bankers. This is our money, our taxpayer money that he's spending, in my opinion, in an incorrect way.
What does a county sheriff do?
County sheriff does a lot of things, Bruce. He runs the jails. That's his big responsibility. That's where the big part of his budget goes. He's responsible for the River Patrol. He handles all the civil process. He's responsible for the court security. And somehow or other, somebody's out there mowing the grass at this end of that, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mentioned the magic word there. I mean, it's like the flag just came out, like the old Groucho Mark, the old duck comes out. Well, jail. Let's talk about that a little bit, okay? What's that all about?
Be fair to Bernie, it didn't happen on his watch.
That's right.
He is a big boil on his forehead, as far as I can see, that he needs to do something with that jail. There seems to be a sign up that says jail for rent, Vancouver Clark County prisoners welcome. Anybody else who come and pay for a space is welcome. I think that's an improper use of that jail. I don't think we need it as a jail. I keep wondering why we arrest people, low-level offenders, for things like prostitution and minor drug offenses such as possession of marijuana, and then turn around and say we don't have jail space.
Okay.
I think we should be arrested.
What about the funding? Who funds the sheriff department? You fund yourself. Do they give you a big block of money from the county?
County gives them a big block of money.
Big block
of money. And then how he spends it is pretty much up to him.
Okay.
He has a budget that's assigned to him, and that's what he has to work with.
Okay. What are some kind of changes? Do you feel comfortable with what's being done now as far as county sheriff? And if not, what do you bring? What are you proposing?
Well, I will stop enforcing the marijuana laws, which will do a couple of different things. It will free up revenue. It will free up the police to do other things. I would stop arresting prostitutes. These people need to be treated. They needed to be treated instead of arrested. We keep seeing, Bruce, these faces of meth. And the faces of meth keep getting worse and worse and worse until the last face we're going to see is a guy laying on a slab, dead as a doornail. Because we arrested him again. We arrested him again. We arrested him again. Stop to treat them. So the crime rate is never going to go down if we don't stop arresting some of these people and start treating them.
Okay.
Throwing money at this problem has never made the crime rate go away.
Okay. But Bob's got a... Bob, you got a...
Don, I'm devil's advocate in this, but I want to ask the question. come on, Bruce. Give
devil's me advocate. I see the horns coming out, folks.
But
I see the horns coming out.
If you get a certain amount of money to do to run your program, and the law says that, on the books, the law says that marijuana use or being caught with marijuana is a crime. And you, as sheriff, you're not going to arrest those people?
No, I'm not going to arrest those people. I'm going to go along with the Safer Citizen Safer initiative that Chris Iverson is getting through in Portland. It will be on the ballot this fall to make marijuana enforcement the lowest enforcement in the city. I will share that and do the same thing in the county. We don't need to be arresting people. Can't out of the young people to put them into jail.
And so about doing it, do you begin to start a vigilante?
I would probably do what we used to do with drunks. We used to arrest drunks and throw them in jail. We finally got over that and stopped arresting people for being drunk on the street. We now take them to a detox center where they don't die on us for laying in a jail cell. I could see a similar program with prostitutes, for instance. Bring them in off the street. Offer them some help, because if you don't, if you just keep arresting them, you're not solving any problems. You have to do something to treat them, because you're sending them back on the street with the same drug problem, the same old man problem, the same pimp problem that they had before. You haven't done a damn thing to help them. perhaps a hooker for prostitutes, some kind of treatment.
Should we legalize prostitution? What do you think about that?
I'm saying that I don't know if you should legalize prostitution. I've never
really got into it. You think that would help, Bob?
But I do know one thing. You should be out giving with registration cards on some of these corners with where these prostitutes are and get them to vote. I think they would like what you're saying and probably vote for you.
Sure.
What about that, Don?
Well,
what do you think about the legalization of prostitution? You think that's something?
Well, I've always thought that prostitution should be legalized, as well as a lot of the drugs should be legalized, because, you know, they don't call it the oldest profession in the world for nothing, and somebody a lot for me should have figured out how to solve their problem a couple of thousand years ago, even.
Mm-hmm.
So if it did any good, let's put it that way, if arresting people for prostitution and minor drug offenses did any good, then I'd say fine. But it doesn't work. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine in Texas, law enforcement man, and he lived in Texas in the 90s. And during the 90s, they built 77 new prisons. And now they're all full. They're all, drugs are cheaper, and drugs are more plentiful than ever. And what have we done? We have created a situation that has become success for the people who sell barbed wire, locks, concrete, prison uniforms, those sorts of things. We are not solving the problem by putting money into this anymore.
I was going to throw something out there. We're going to take advantage of something here. Don had said that he was at one point in time a Portland police officer. And it's my understanding he was on for about 15 years or so. And,
17 years.
17 years or so. And thinking about today's situation, we even at the Foxworth situation, the former chief, actually still the chief, he's on leave right now, on paid leave and whatever. Let's talk a little bit about that. And, some have said that there's this cult, if you will, exists in the department. And it's tough work and the like and whatever. What are some of your thoughts on this issue?
It is tough work. It's one of the toughest jobs any person could ever have, and it's a thankless job, and I don't see why anybody wants to get involved in it, because it burns you out. One of the things that I'd like to do, and one of the things that's pointed out at the county auditor thing, is that there's 100 different deputies that are taking 11 weeks off a year. They're taking that time off because they're sick, they're tired, they're taking a comp time, a sick time, vacation time, anything to get the hell out of the office for a while. And they're doing that because they're burned out. We need to figure out, I would bring people to figure out how to get these folks to be able to retire in 15 years, get them out of the service. And then they're going to have PTSD 10 years down the line.
What is that?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay, all right.
That's what policemen all have. They all have it sooner or later. Because that stress just doesn't go anywhere. If you're a combat soldier, the combat's going to go away a couple of years. You're a cop, it's never going to go away. You're doing the same thing every day, every day, every day, every day.
So what do we do? If you got 15 in on the force, what do you retire then? Or do they give them another job
they
somewhere?
They should retire at full pay and not be allowed to work in law enforcement anymore. They need to be able to retire with their sanity and their sobriety and some character left to them. At full retirement. There's enough smart people in this state to figure out how to do that. And some of that money could come from not arresting these marijuana offenses. We spend $666 billion a year, Bruce, arresting people for marijuana offenses in Oregon.
Hmm.
That's stupid.
Wow. Well, I tell you, when you think about 15 years, I mean, it'd be all sorts of... You wouldn't have recruitment anymore, would you?
You wouldn't be worrying about jerks on the police department anymore.
Okay, I like that now. Now you mentioned that now. What are you suggesting? but let's talk a little bit more about that. I know you heard about that situation with Chief Foxworth and whatever.
Sure.
And I'm not just picking on him particularly, but there's been other incidents, if you will.
That culture of you do something and I'll cover up for you has been there since the day I joined the police department in 1961. It was that way when I left in 1978, and it's still there. One guy does something wrong, and the next guy swears to it, and it's a cover-up. You do something wrong, I'll cover up for you. That's there. It's there. It's never going to go away.
Isn't that also in the corporate boardroom?
Absolutely.
In the hospital?
Absolutely, but it's not tolerable in law enforcement.
Yeah. I see.
It's not tolerable in law enforcement. You hold your hand up, you swear to uphold the law, you damn well better do that.
Mm-hmm.
You damn well better do that.
Well, I have, you know, personally, I have not seen a law that takes the integrity of a person and change it. I mean, you know the law is there, and you try to, and if you don't like the law, you try to find ways to get around it, i.e.
Yes.
your idea of who to arrest and who not to arrest. It's a law that says you should, but you're going to find a way around it.
That's so, always been the police's prerogative, though.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking
Selective
about.
Selective enforcement. Whether or not I stop you and give you a ticket for a red light is my prerogative, or if I decide to. So it's selective enforcement. All the way, always has been.
How do we stop that and say, I run the light, and this guy that lives down the street run the light, whether he's black, white, green, yellow, or blue, both of them get stopped. How do you do that as far as changing the id of the policeman?
It's tough to do, and you have to do it by example, I think, because profiling is there, always has been, always will be, if somebody steps forward and changes it. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that I have a son that's black, and there will be no profiling, no racial profiling in my share. Someone, my son has been profiled, and I don't appreciate it.
So is there a solution to this problem? I mean, we hear the
There
word.
Is a solution to the problem if you have a leader at the top who won't tolerate it and won't tolerate it in his troops. You have to be the front of the ship, the prow of the boat. You have to set the tone. You can hire smart people around you to figure out how to do some of these things, but you have to be the leader for change, and then change will happen.
Okay. We're interviewing Don DuPay, who happens to be running for Multnomah County Sheriff. His background talks to the fact that he was a former Portland police officer, so we're taking advantage, if you will, of talking to him about that particular issue and his time on the force tonight. Bob, you were asking another question.
I'm going to kind of flip the script here a little bit and go back to the that boondoggle of a jail that's sitting over there that's not being used. And do you have any ideas? I mean, you were talking about trying to lease it, Clackamas County, Washington County.
That's his idea.
Well, it's a property that's sitting there not being used that is state of the art. And the Multnomah County commissioners are not giving them enough to man this facility. What would you suggest they do with it?
I've always suggested it to be a multi-use facility. You can take down some of the bars. You can roll back some of the barbed wire. Why can't it be Wapato Elementary School? Why can't it be some kind of a school? Why can't it be... You know how many kids are in this area that are underserved medically? It's got a damn hospital in it. Let's use it for underserved medical for children. Let's use it for a homeless shelter. Let's use it for a medical facility. Let's use it for a community space, a senior citizen's place. Let's use it for something besides a jail. I'm the only one who said that I will give back. The sheriff makes $110,000 a year. That's a lot of money. I'm going to give back $30,000 of that the day that I start. And if that's what it takes to turn the lights on at Wapato Jail and make it into something else, that's what I'm going to do with that money. These county commissioners, the county people in upper-level government, anyway, they make too much money, Bruce. They all make $80,000, $90,000, $150,000 a year. The chief of police makes $145,000 a year. Give some of that money back. You weren't elected to get rich. You were elected to help people.
Good point. Good point. Hey, look, we're at 503-231-8187. We're talking to candidates here at KBOO. Give us a call. In fact, the lines are open now. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask of Don DuPay, who happens to be running for county sheriff, or even Bob Williams, Big Bob. He sits on the TriMet board. He's a man of many means. Give us a call at 503-231-187. Again, like I said, please get out there and vote. Pick up that voter's pamphlet, which you've received. You have received those at every household. You've got a copy of the voter's pamphlet, the Oregon primary election, May 6, 2006. Bill Bradbury, put that Secretary of State, put that piece together. It's a very, very, very comprehensive piece. I mean, lots of information and whatever on whatever. So please, so when you're going to be picking up those ballots are going to be coming to you because it is a vote by mail, and they will be in your hand. And over the weekend, I would suggest that you get that, you get the voter's pamphlet. I'm sure there's all kinds of mediums out there, like the Oregonian, Willamette Week, you got the Mercury, you got the Scanner, you got the Observer, you got all the neighborhood newspapers, and many of them are endorsing this. So give us a call, on the other hand, at 503-231-87. We have a few more minutes here, and I'd love for you to give Don a call and ask him your question. What do you think about his idea about the Walpole jail in terms of what he feels things are going to be of it? What do you feel about the marijuana issue? Do you think that's something that you'd be you'd feel comfortable with Don? All his points about prostitution and like and whatever. But give us a call, please. 503-231-8187. Okay? Okay, look like we've got a caller. Calling you on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Hi.
Hi there.
This is LaVon Griffin-Valeda. I'm a candidate for Multnomah County Auditor, and I'm calling to tell everybody about my candidacy and my campaign and to say howdy.
Oh, great. Hey, I like that, LaVon. I like that very much so. So why don't you just get right on into it? Come on.
Okay. I have been working in the auditor's office for almost 7.5 years. I'm a senior management auditor and was named the deputy auditor this last summer. Ran the office for almost 2 months while the current county auditor was on leave. I am endorsed by the current county auditor, who is term limited and getting ready to run for metro auditor herself. She is also my campaign chair. I'm endorsed by a number of other local government auditors, including David Dean from the city of Gresham,
okay.
Including a bunch of other folks, too.
All right. Okay. Well, what do you think you're going to do in terms in regards to how you're going to benefit that position that you're running for?
I have a lot of experience.
All
I
right.
have a lot of energy, a lot of drive, and I'm a total professional and an independent. And I know the county really well.
Great.
I will be able to hit the ground running, and I look forward to being the county auditor.
Oh, great, LaVon. Well, okay, how do they participate in your campaign? You have a phone number, a website?
Yes, I do. My
okay.
phone number is 503-970-9152. And I invite everyone to look at my website, which is www.lavongriffinvalade.org. And LaVon Griffin Valade is quite a handle, but here's how it's spelled. LaVonneGriffinvalade.
Boy, I tell you, that's quite a name. But
well, it is. Well, once you know it, you don't forget it.
I never want. It's almost like Broussard, no?
Almost every letter in the alphabet.
That's right. Hey, LaVon, again, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Fine. And again, what's that phone number and website then again?
Okay. The phone number again is 503-970-9152. And the website is www.lavongriffinvalade.org.
Okay, LaVon, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me to come online.
Hey, thank you for being at KBOO, and continue to support us, okay?
I sure will.
All right, good enough.
Good evening.
Good evening now. That was LaVon Griffin-Valade. Okay, she's running for Multnomah County County Auditor, okay? All right, look like we've got another candidate or caller on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, I have a question for Don.
Don, okay, good.
Don. Right now, Representative Gary Hansen, who's also running for the county commission, has been working on for a while a program. He's trying to get it through the funding date to turn that Wapato jail into a treatment center so we could cut down
sure.
the residential treatment center so we could cut down the revolving door for meth addicts. And I was wondering, what do you think of this idea of that Gary Hansen has for turning that Wapato jail into a treatment center?
Well, I just spoke about that. If you don't treat meth addicts, you're going to be taking another picture of them until they die on the slab.
Thank you, Colin.
You've got to stop arresting them and start treating them, because if you don't, they're just never going to get any better, and you're not going to keep your stereo in your car any longer. So if you don't stop throwing these people in jail and start treating them, we're never going to be anywhere.
Well, you know, when you think about this treatment situation, okay, we need the monies, right? Are you looking at maybe a bond measure that you will go back to the commissioners and saying, hey, maybe in order to raise the monies to put that piece together, and how do you figure that's gonna, and who's gonna take the lead? Who's gonna be in charge of it? Are you gonna give it back to the county, or are you gonna put it under the auspices of the sheriff department?
I'm going to keep that with the county, because they're the ones that are going to ultimately do the funding, whether it's used as a jail or whether it's not used as a jail. But we don't treat people in a humane manner the way we should. We're not, and I think the sheriff shows that with his arrogance. He doesn't treat people like they need to be treated, not as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bob?
I'm one that look at things and say that the glass is half full rather than half empty. And for some reason, the county decided to build that jail. And you're talking about using it for other means. My question then becomes, where do you get the funds to do the things that you want to do? Are you going to take them from your budget?
Yes.
Which would probably mean cutting salaries or cutting staff. Have you seen the budget, or how do you?
The first thing I'm going to do is order that staffing study that the county auditor has already criticized the sheriff for not doing. That's going to show us where you go. You walk into a new business, you take territory, so you know where you've been and you know where you're going. And nobody knows how much money's available until that staffing study is done. And then when that's done, I'll know where I'm going with it. I think that it's just a matter of making people understand that we don't need another jail. Let's figure out the money, which is going to come from the county commissioners ultimately, to do something else with it.
Well, I know I'm watching TV, and I see every month, every 2 months or so, early release downtown. And these guys go right back out into the community, whether they're marijuana or prostitution or whatever, and they do the same thing.
Because they weren't treated. They weren't stopped. They weren't given any treatment on demand. You just keep arresting them. You turn them loose early, it doesn't make any difference.
Now, I've also worked with people who have been addicted to different drugs and so forth. And the thing that I've noticed is that if their mindset is not that they want to change, I don't care what kind of treatment you give them, they're not going to change. So how do you change their mindset?
You're not going to save them all.
Yeah.
You're not going to save them all. Because nobody's going to change unless they're ready to change. If you're not going to stop smoking cigarettes, I can't make you stop smoking them. But I can certainly offer you the help. Take it, then you're going to go to jail at some point. But I'm going to offer you help at the first. And if you don't take the help, excuse me, ultimately you're going to wind up behind bars for a long, long time.
Okay.
You jump in my car, try and steal my stereo, you're going to go to jail for a long, long time.
Look like we got a caller again. Okay. Caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Bruce, this is Tina Kotek. I'm a Democratic candidate for state representative in North and Northeast Portland.
Hi, Tina. Just fine. I'm sure glad you called.
Well, thanks for having me. I was listening to your show, and I was catching the tail end of this conversation about prevention. And
yes.
You know, we're not providing enough mental health and substance abuse treatment for people in this county or this state.
Okay.
And that's what's, you know, tearing families apart. When they have a problem, they have nowhere to go to get help.
Right. Well, Tina, let's talk a little bit about you real quick. Like, you're running for what position now again?
I'm running in North Portland and North and Northeast, actually.
Right.
I'm running to replace Gary Hansen.
Okay.
You know, he's running for the county commission.
Right.
And I'm in the Democratic primary. And I'm running because I don't think state government's doing a very good job of taking on the issues that matter to people out here in North and Northeast Portland.
Okay.
That's good-paying jobs with benefits. That's health care. That's affordable child care. We have schools that aren't funded well. And I have 5 years of experience as an advocate for children and families.
Great.
Working for nonprofits like the Oregon Food Bank and Children
Good.
First for Oregon. And I want to take that experience down to the Capitol, represent this district.
Great. Well, how do they get in touch with you? How do they get in your campaign? Is it a phone number, a website?
Yeah, all the information's on my website at votetina.com, votetina.com. And the other reason I'm running, two other personal reasons, we don't have enough women in the legislature. Out of 27 Democrats in the House, only 8 of us are women, so we need more women.
Okay.
And I'm also an out lesbian, and we could use some diversity in terms of gay and lesbian issues
All
in
right.
the House.
Sounds great to me, Tina. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Bruce. Take it easy.
All right, now, sure enough. Okay, that was Tina, folks. Hey, she's running out of Northeast Portland for state representative. Good folks from Gary Hansen's seat. Hey, we got another call. Let's get this call in real quick, right? Caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Oh, yes. As sheriff, hello?
Yes, hold on.
Sheriff, sir, can anything be done about sex offenders, or do we have to have lots of money to rehabilitate them? And also, as sheriff, can you make any kind of impact on domestic violence problems? Anyway, I'll listen to you.
Okay, thank you, caller. Okay. Thank you, caller. Let's be quick because we got about 3 minutes.
You cannot cure a sex offender. There's only one cure for a sex offender, and that's to lock them up for the rest of their life. I would put more effort into finding sex offenders, more sexual predators, because they're popping up every day. You see them on television. I'd put more investigative time into that. I would take it out of somewhere else. But that's how you're going to protect your kids.
What about that Jessica Law thing that just passed? Did you go along with that? What do you think about that Jessica Law?
It's got a 25-year mandatory sentence.
Yes.
Those 25-year mandatory sentences scare me.
It does?
Yep.
So what would you do? What would you have responded? I got about 2 more minutes, real quickly. What would you have done in lieu of?
I would give the judge a little more leeway.
How?
By letting them... I don't like that 25-year maximum.
You don't like a 25-year maximum?
I want the judge to have some more input in that. We're having that trouble with Measure 11 already.
Okay.
Minimums.
All right. Well, look like we got about a minute and a half here left to do. I think we've been talking to candidates during this particular hour. I think we had quite a luck. I'm glad that Don stayed around with us. He's running for sheriff. A lot of the candidates are out campaigning, and I'm sure that they would have called had they had the opportunity. I'm glad that Bob is here with us tonight, and Bob is going to be great. In fact, we're going to be on the next hour anyway, talking about some other issues and the like, and we'd like very much for you to stick around and listen to this next hour. You know, big Bob is going to be on next hour, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that show. I think it's going to be just great. Again, please get out and vote. Pick up that voter's pamphlet and go through it. We got this Oregon primary election. You have the opportunity to really express yourself and then definitely get into the general election. Don't just forget about it if your person didn't make it. I think it's very important for you to follow through and be a part of this process, because come November 1, we got to pick up a whole batch of leadership again, and it's very, very important to give us a direction. Any last comment, Bob?
I'll just say this. Remember that...
here we go. We got to give it up. Real quick. Vote, right?
Vote.
Sounds good. All right, good. Again, as usual, as Bob and my man George Page would always say, back to what you believe in. Have a good evening.